Words we do not like. Last week we talked about can't. And it was interesting, and we had a vision meeting on Tuesday night, and if I remember correctly, the word can't was passed over. And I thought, somebody heard. And so anyway, as we take a look at this, these words that we don't like, submission is a word that probably no one likes. And after listening to Jim read what Peter wrote, and it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Wives might not like that, but there's something that goes on beyond that, and so we'll talk about that. But too often we get the wrong idea about what submission is. We really think a lot of times that if we submit to something, then we think we're giving away our authority. And we no longer have control over what we thought we had. But really what it is, it's gaining independence over self-control. And if we stop and think about that, it's a total reversal. It's almost a 180-degree look. And if we, as individuals, or we as a church, or whatever, would grasp what Paul said, it would totally revolutionize relationships. It would totally revolutionize the church. And it would totally change society. Well, how's that going to happen, and how could that be? Well, Peter had been dealing with submission in the churches that he had talked about, and he had instructed them to submit themselves to one another as believers in Christ. And so when we look at this, he was saying, you have to submit yourself to the governor. And many times we'd heard him say, you know, and people had said, you know, about giving, and he said, well, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. In other words, submit yourself to giving to Caesar what's Caesar's. But then he says we need to submit to each other. We need to submit to all men. And what he had done, and there's a list of people that Jim had read there, and he talks about in specific terms, but he says citizens, slaves, wives, husbands. From these instructions, it seems that every Christian needs to submit to someone. But I think we could take it a step further. Every individual needs to submit to one another. And so if you get a chance, you might want to take a look at that passage again and read it. But it's interesting when he talks about, you know, because we always talk about wives submitting to husbands, and we always hear that. And Cindy works with a lady that has a husband that is the biggest jerk I have ever heard of in my life. And if I could get a hold of him, I would just, what's that? Secondly, he needs more than a hug. But what Peter is saying there is, he says, husbands, be gentle with your wives. Regard their well-being. Know what her needs are. You can't change them on us every day either. But he says, know what your needs are. Know what her needs are. And then he says, respond sympathetically. This is not a message to husbands. It's a message to the church. But I think if we looked at it that way, it might change how we looked at a lot of different things. And so I think we need to take a look at the importance of that whole subject of submission that Peter is talking about here, because it becomes a vital part of the Christian life and a vital part of that life that we live. And there's five things that I think that are important here, and I'm going to kind of skip through them because there's a couple other things I want to share that I think are really important. Well, I think it's all important. But submission is the key to unity and harmony. And Debbie touched on it. There's not a lot of harmony in our country. There's not a lot of unity in our country. And I woke up, right now it was, might have been yesterday, second, I shave twice a week. And I think yesterday was the time. And it was as I was looking in the mirror, and it was like the Lord said to me, and I almost put it on Facebook, and then I decided I wouldn't because it may have been overly, it may have come across too critical when you were talking about that. But it's like people need to get over themselves. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about all of us. And if we can't get over our egos, we can't understand that things that we do and say may hurt somebody. And we are living in pretty much of a self-centered world. And so when I looked at, when I was thinking about this week, he's talking about submitting in human relationships. If we stop and think about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what unity, what harmony, but what submission we see there. There needs to be submission in the church. People may look at up here and say, well, you don't submit to anybody, you're the pastor. Well, that's not true. Because I am accountable to you ultimately, but I'm accountable to the pastor parish committee. We've had some discussions about things. We had some discussions right after I first got here about some things. Fortunately, they've subsided. But there has to be that type of relationship. There has to be submission in marriage. Wives to husbands, husbands to wives. In any relationship that's going to have unity, there has to be giving. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he says, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Being of the same mind. That's a tough one sometimes. Maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Sometimes that's a little tough. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So we got submission is the key to unity. Perfect example is Satan. When he abused the power that he was given when he was a heavenly angel and the position that he had and decided that he was going to rebel against God. And so he decided he was going to act independently. He was going to go do his own thing, and he went and did his own thing, and he got kicked out of heaven. And now we have to deal with the past. But that's what he chose to do because he wanted to be independent. He wanted to do his own thing, and in essence he tried to get Adam and Eve to do the same thing, and they gave in to his inducement. He tried to do the same thing with Jesus when he tempted Jesus, but that didn't work. Jesus didn't submit to him. So when submission exists, and I heard this word last a week ago Friday and Saturday, sitting in this seminary class that I was in about legalism. When submission exists, legalism disappears. What's legalism? Legalism is a bunch of rules that tell you how to live your life that have absolutely nothing to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't care if they're Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, Nazarene, it doesn't make any difference. General rules and those things have nothing to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. But I saw this and I thought it was really true. It says, where true submission exists, legalism disappears. To teach about submission and then embrace it prevents a multitude of legalistic rules. Submission is a fundamental ingredient of the believer's spiritual life. In other words, submitting to God is the first thing and the first person that we have to do too. So these are some things that I saw, and I thought they really say it really well. Secular submission is very limited. Biblical submission is as broad as you can imagine. It's broad as mankind is. Most natural people, and if you think about it, when you were in the business world, if you worked for someone else, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Out of 34 years, 8 months, and 1 day, I worked for 3 jerks. Not bad. But their whole thing was, how many people do I have under me? How many people report to me? Because the more people report to me, the more important I am. That's what secular submission says. What biblical submission says is that the more people that are over me, the better I am, because I'm going to be held more accountable. Biblical submission is universal. It's first subject to God, then we're subject to each other. As far as giving and taking, husbands and wives are supposed to be equally submissive to one another. Secular submission is compulsory. It's imposed on you whether you want it or not. Biblical submission is voluntary. It comes from the heart. It comes from a desire to want to do it. And I thought, well, I used to have a radar detector. Anybody else have them? Without a raise of hands. Butcher's got one. Thank you, Butch. Todd. We've all had them, or we all have them. And we have them because we didn't want to submit to the speed laws. That's why I had one. And I had it on one day and got stopped because it didn't go off, because there was in a helicopter coming back, going back from Kansas City to St. Louis. It's not supposed to work that way, but it did. But that's why we have them, because we choose not to submit to the law. And I'd be the first one to say that. Do I still speed? Yes. The world says we need to submit to speed laws. We need to submit to laws. Secular submission is given to those in authority who expect and sometimes demand that we act the way that benefits them. Someone said to me Saturday, well, I know you came from the business world where results were expected and where you expected results. True. I had people work for me. I reported to people. And it filtered down. There was that expectation. Well, biblical submission is given to him who gave up his rights. We no longer have to have it. We gave them up in order to be blessed. Secular submission is mainly a matter of authority. Biblical submission is about priority, what's important. Secular submission seeks to minimize dependence on others and maximize our own independence. how good I am because of who I am. I don't need anyone. Biblical submission recognizes our dependence on others. I need you. Hopefully you need me. Maybe not as a pastor, maybe as a friend. Maybe as somebody you can talk to. Maybe somebody that makes you laugh. Maybe somebody that puts your arm around you when times are tough. Maybe it's somebody just to talk. That's who we all are when we submit to one another. Satan acted independently of God when he approached Adam and Eve and got them to fall, because he wanted it done his way. And he got what he wanted. Secular submission is legalistic, which means that the law directs you. And the law directs everything that we do. Biblical submission is an agreement with the Spirit. It's not about law. It's not about doing things we have to do. It's agreement with the Spirit that this is right or this is wrong. Secular submission is not voluntary when you really stop and think about it. It's imposed upon us because someone has expectations for what we do. Biblical submission is voluntary because it's on our part. And I saw this illustration and I thought it made a lot of sense. When we had children, or if you have children, and you know, and we saw five of them up here today, and we tell them they need to clean their room. Feel guilty, Olivia? We tell them that they need to clean their room. Shut the next part out. But we don't give them a reason. It's just because. My mother was because. She was a because mother. Why? Because. Because what? You didn't ask that part of the question. What didn't exist? Because what didn't exist? But we look at that, and I was listening to Focus on the Family the other day, and they had Dave Ramsey on there, and he was talking about that, and the idea of submission came up, and the cleaning the room, and he said, well, you know, give them $2. Nothing's happier than a four-year-old walking around with his chest sticking out and two $1 bills hanging out of his pocket. Nothing is any better. And he went on to say, and for those of us that may eventually someday have grandchildren, Ramsey's a big guy on envelopes. So he said, get three envelopes. One for saving, one for giving, and then one for spending. He said, if they want to go out and spend that whole spending envelope, let them do it. It's not a big deal. And then and another thought that came to mind when we talk about that is our children ask us to do something, and you know, and they want to go do something with someone, and we tell them no. Don't, you can't do that, but they end up doing something with someone's brother. By the letter of the law, they didn't break the law. But if in true submission, because they were told not to do one thing, true submission says, I don't do the second. That's submission. But it's a hard thing to accept. It's a hard thing to really want. So we can be submissive to the letter of the law because we have to, and it doesn't become voluntary. That's why they had all the rules in Judaism. 630 some rules they had that they had to follow. That's legalism, when you have to follow rules to get anything done. secular submission may act in the way one authority demands, but is seldom silent. Biblical submission is often evidenced in the silence which accompanies innocent suffering. People who are submissive don't go around and complain about it. In 2 Peter 2:18 to 25, slaves were urged to suffer silently as Jesus suffered. Wives are to suffer in silence as Jesus did in 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. And then Peter says this in Psalms. He says, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good?" Our culture does not agree with that. And the society that we live in does not agree with that. There is no such thing as silence is golden in our society and in our world. Our speech should edify other people and should edify each other. We shouldn't confess a fault to one another for personal satisfaction. We should do it because it's the right thing to do. And when we confess that fault, it's over and done. It's forgiven. If I offend Scott, I'm not going to go tell Bruce. I'm going to go talk to Scott. That's submission. Even though I might not want to, that's who I have to go talk to. That's submission in its purest form. I saw this and I thought it was interesting. Not saying something when we have been wronged is not wrong, unless we have failed to forgive the one who has wronged us. The command to not let the sun go down on our wrath does not give license to vent our anger. It is an exhortation to grant forgiveness and deal with anger in a way that edifies the offending party and promotes unity and harmony. It's the way to lift up someone. When I was putting this together and I saw that, well, you know, you could talk for hours on submission. But there's some problems with submission, and we're going to talk about those next week. So whatever the word was next week for diversity, we're going to drag this out some more and take a look at some more issues with it, because I think that it's important that we take a look at it. And one of the hymns that I sent to Greg for next week, and I would just encourage you to read through it a couple times this week, is "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." If you need a hymn, they'll take one with you. But "Have Thine Own Way." You know, I mean, open up our hearts, and we need this. We are vulnerable to the Holy Spirit, that He works with us on this whole idea of submission. It's too often we get the wrong idea about submission, thinking it's giving away our authority, but in fact, it's gaining independence over self-control.